if we look at Paul's second missionary journey, we find Paul earlier. This was written about 57 A.D., the second epistle. The first epistle was probably written the year before. And I don't recall, I didn't look up in my chronological Bible when Paul was on his first missionary journey. Well, it was probably 5 years or so before that, 2 to 3 or 4 years before that. And when he says the whole region of Achaia, or all of Achaia is that whole southern peninsula of Greece, Peloponnesian Peninsula, plus the island. There's an island off to the east side of Greece called Chalcis, which is probably about 120 miles long and maybe 30 miles wide, 20 miles wide. Kind of like where Nassau is in the Bahamas, where Carol and Joan and the family are all at right now. But Chalcis was an island that was part of this Achaia, which Timothy and Paul include to this epistle. So it came up to around 20,000 square miles, plus, but about 25 to 30% of that is water, with the area around, right, the area of the bays and stuff, and the space in between Chalcis and the rest of the Achaia. So it was a large region. Paul obviously didn't get to all 20,000 square miles or 15,000 square miles of it, but Paul had journeyed there as he came down from Philippi and down to Thessalonica and down into Corinth and Athens and then returned back. And he was over I think he was in Ephesus when he wrote this, I'm not sure. But he was somewhere over in Asia Minor, I think, when he wrote this particular epistle. So he's calling to the saints in that whole region, not just the city of Corinth in the beginning, but that whole region there in southern Greece, Achaia. But we mainly think of the Corinthian people because we know a lot about Corinth. Corinth was a wicked city. And they were going, the saints there were undergoing not persecution like we're seeing today of brothers and sisters being sick and ill, but they were undergoing some real physical persecution. So that's what one of the reasons this letter is addressed to the church of Corinth. Then it's verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking of the family this past week, the Palmers and the Stiflers especially, our prayers, of course, were for peace and for comfort. And that's where that phrase, God of all comfort, comes from too here in my thinking. But grace be to you and peace, he's writing to the saints at Corinth and the peninsula there. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. Mercies is withholding things we don't deserve, right? Mercy is withholding judgment or withholding something that we don't deserve. And the people of Corinth were, not the saints so much, but the people of Corinth was known for its debauchery and the evil practices in the city of Corinth. And certainly if there was one where mercy could have been withheld, it would be in that kind of a place. But he said God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Comfort is what we've been trying to extend to the families this past week. I hope I don't step on any of Dan's verses for tomorrow. Dan, I'm mainly staying in here. Or Chris's or anyone else's, but the concept there of comfort, and I enjoy, many of us have laid many of our family to rest, you know, my mom and dad, you know, and Sandy, and many of you have laid others in your family to rest too, recently or in the recent past or in the past, long past, and it never ceases to amaze me as we go to a funeral parlor like some of us did the last couple of days, of the opportunity you have to remember the person that's gone into the presence of the Lord and to share that good times with the memories and comfort them, the people who are of loss. I remember a funeral I went to over at Miller's one time and the person in the other room was a believer, but the person in the first room wasn't. And the people were just wailing. I mean, it was terrible. You know, it was really terrible. And I was so glad that the family that I was visiting was in the other room, because the whole demeanor was so much different. The climate was so much different when you know that your loved one has gone home to be with the Lord and you can comfort one another. What a horrible thing to be able to have to go to a funeral parlor and know that the person did not accept the Lord, or that the person knowingly rejected the Lord, you know, deliberately rejected the Lord. That's even more tragic, but to know that a person hadn't come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and died, you know, and met their death. And it happens so often. You know. Buffalo News doesn't have two people in obituaries every day. You know, there's more like 30 or 40, you know. And it happens. And then whether it's a case of a kid getting in a car accident, you know, and times of the proms are up here this time of year, and so often you hear of accidents with proms. This year we didn't hear of any. That was good. But so often why kids' lives are cut, what we say is short. We were down at the house a couple of nights ago, and Bethel heard this large plane go overhead. It was a C-130 from the Air Force Base. And it went down the lake. It was only about 500 feet, 600 feet off the deck. And Bethel said, well, something's going on, you know. So I said, well, you want to go down to the lake. So I got in the car, and we went down. We got down as far as Route 5, and here's this big C-130 Hercules flying down Route 5, about 500 feet up, and got to the Ford plant, and he put it into about a 30-degree bank, and then he leveled it off and was headed towards Buffalo, and then he climbed up to altitude, about 1,500 feet, 2,000 feet, and headed back to Niagara Falls. And so I said, well, you want to go down to Town Park? So we went down to Town Park. It was about 8:30, something like that, I imagine. And a couple of rescue vehicles went by us, and there was a boat out on the lake that had his light on, and he was sailing down towards Hamburg Town Park, and there was four guys that were in a canoe, and one guy stood up, and they had been drinking, and he went to the edge of the boat, and the canoe just flipped over, and all four of them were in the water, and they were in the water for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, before somebody got to them, about an hour and a half before somebody on shore really noticed they were in trouble, and another half hour before they got out to him. And the one guy was unconscious, and the rest of them, they made it. They all made it. They said this morning, or yesterday morning on the news, that the fellow was alive, and he was okay in ECMC. But again, the brevity of life is so short, you know, and you just don't know. And it's great. It's precious. Isn't it precious to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to have that assurance that we're going to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord? Verse 4, he comforts us in all our tribulation. Now, this again, what they're talking about here mainly is a real physical tribulation. A lot of persecution going on already for the believers there. He comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble. You know, that's one of the, remember the passage where it said that Christ Jesus was tempted like in all points as we are, yet without sin. You know, he's walked the walk. He's been in our paths. He can comfort us because he's been there. He comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If you've received it, share it. And it's only those who really have received it, who've been through something like that, of loss, that really can comfort the best because they've been there, right? They've been there. And the Lord puts us through tribulation so that we can comfort others. I remember, I think I shared this once before with you. I hadn't prepared to say this, but just as I was speaking, it came to my mind, one of the girls that I taught with at Tonawanda, we were at a point in our careers early on when a strike vote came. Tonawanda was all of about 3.1 square miles school district, and it was mostly all residential. There was only two or three industries. And every contract year was a hectic year for the Teachers Association. And so we were at a point where we had to decide whether we were going to go on strike or not. So Diane, when she went out, she went home up in Sanborn that night, and she went for a walk out in the woods where she normally hiked, used to hike near her home. Well, she was attacked that night and molested. And weeks later, as we talked about it over and over, I said to her, you know, Diane, who knows? She married a guy that became a pastor. I don't remember what church. I can't remember what kind of church it was, but she married a guy that was a pastor, and she was going with him at the time from Colgate University in Rochester there. And I said, who knows, Diane? Maybe you know, you've gone through this so that someday you're going to be able to counsel a young teenage girl or a young girl or a married woman like yourself that goes through a similar situation, you know. Who knows how why God puts things in our lives, what events we go through, so that 5, 10, 20 years down the road, we can comfort others. Tough things to go through, but our ways are not his ways. His ways are not our ways, you know. and he prepares us. And here he says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort that we've received and been comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. As the sufferings abound, the consolation abounds. Where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound, right? Much more abound. And here he says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. So sometimes God puts things in our lives that isn't there just for us. It might be for someone 5 years later, so that we can step in and say, hey, you know, I remember when I went through this. And you can make this through. You can make it through this. You know, God is going to give you the grace to go through it, because I've been through it, and he's brought me through it. And we can comfort one another with that knowledge and with that with the experiences that he takes us through. Let's turn back to a few chapters to Romans 15. Romans 15. And I'm not going to be up here long tonight, but another passage. We had here the God of the Father of mercies, well, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Romans 15, verse 1 through 6. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. No, patience and comfort leads to hope. Okay, that's a positive, isn't it? The trials aren't positive necessarily. The trials that we go through aren't always, we don't see them as positive sometimes. I remember when I had my collapsed lung. Or no, when I had surgery, I think it was. No, I guess it was when I had my first collapsed lung. I've had three of them, so they kind of all go together. But Dave and Bill Stifler came up and visited me up in the hospital. And one of the comments that either Dave or Bill shared with me that morning was, who knows, Jim, you know, you've got a collapsed lung, but who knows, maybe you're in the hospital because this morning, you know, next morning, you might have gotten a car accident on the Youngman or on a Niagara Thruway or something. You know, who knows? But what this collapsed lung wasn't to prevent you and save you from losing your life, or something like that, something to that extent. And one of my colleagues at Frontier at Tonawanda, a big guy, 250 weight shot putter, track coach, he was going up to Tonawanda one day about 10 years after that, and he was up on River Road and it was glazed ice and his car spun out and he got hit with another car. And he was paralyzed the rest of his life. And I think he's gone home to be with the Lord now. But big guy, Andy Mathias, huge guy. And gentle giant, big teddy bear. But totally incapacitated because on the way to work, he had an accident. You know, so when that became even more aware, when that happened, it became even more aware to me of what Dave and Bill counseled me and encouraged me when I was in the hospital. Because you just don't know why the Lord does things to you. You know, I didn't do anything to get a collapsed lung. All I was doing was pulling Tim and Lois around on a sled the day before. I walked into school, went up the stairs like a little bit like a track star, you know. At least it seemed like it. I was kind of going up the stairs kind of fast and just about passed out when I got to the landing because my lung was already collapsed. And don't have any idea how it collapsed. And the second time, all I did was turn over in bed and I realized it was collapsed. Last time I was driving on the thruway and it was collapsed, you know. But the Lord sometimes does things to us and sets us aside for a few days so that down the road perhaps we can comfort someone else and we can encourage someone else. And Andy's case, he was totally incapacitated. And Pete Hadley, the guy we just visited with Pete and Alice, Peter used to be on WDCX and had the call-in program. And Peter visited him a lot up in Tonawanda in his infirmities. So verse verse 1 here, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. There was at one point in time where he said, the hour has come. Let's go to Jerusalem. You know, he knew it was time. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded ones toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. It's interesting that you can see over and over in both of these passages, you can see the pattern. You know, we have tribulations, but God gives comfort, right? We have tribulations, but God gives consolation. And once we have that consolation, it's our responsibility to pass it on to others and to share. And as we go through the rest of this week, tomorrow with the family, it's our privilege to comfort one another. It's our privilege to share the Scriptures with one another. And but it's also a blessing, isn't it, to share Scriptures one with another. And sometimes our talk is about the weather, and sometimes our talk is about sports, and sometimes our talk is about families, but our talk needs to be about Scriptures too. And it says here in His Word, what we're just reading here. So just a few words that came to me as the week progressed, and as I realized that I needed to change my message a bit, but just a few words of encouragement for us, and not just for this week with the funeral, but also, you know, as need comes up, to encourage one another in the Scriptures, and encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, because He reached out to us, and He encouraged us, and He consoled us. Let's pray.